Take your Bible and go back tonight to the book of Revelation chapter 9. The book of Revelation chapter 9. I always reread these verses for emphasis sake. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 6. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Then, of course, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 8, as we read only a moment ago in verse 3, where the Bible says, "And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family." Here we see two separate incidences in the Bible that's given, and we'll see several other individual incidences in the Bible where people choose death over life. Now, I don't know about you, but I really like life. I enjoy life. I enjoy doing what I do. I enjoy having pleasure around people. I enjoy laughing. I enjoy having fun in life. I am just enjoying things immensely that is happening. Mrs. Wells and I yesterday went to the state fair with our college young people and with, of course, some of the academy children that went out on that day with their parents, and we were able to walk around, and we just enjoyed looking at the different animals and looking at different things that was all throughout the fair, things that people had made and things that they'd won first place and second place and third place, as we went to that particular house that had that in, that particular building, and we saw the different crafts that people had made, and then just enjoyed walking around and seeing our young people all throughout the fair, and just watching them have fun, and then watching the Marines and all sorts of things. I enjoy life, and I think you ought to strive at enjoying life. But there is a thing that is called suicide, and I think we need to study it tonight as we continue the series on God's views on social issues. Let me give you some statements to consider tonight. People who commit suicide and their statistics. People who commit suicide and their statistics. Let me give you just a few statistics about the people that commit suicide. Each year, suicide takes the lives of 30,000 Americans. 30,000 Americans. 5,000 young people between the ages of 15 and 24. Now, by the way, those particular young people between the ages of 15 and 24 makes up the third leading cause of death for that age group. Second would be those that are in college age. Suicide makes up the second leading cause of death for those that are college age young people. Think about some of the schools that we have in the U.S. It is said that 60% of high school boys have thought about suicide. 60% of high school boys have thought about suicide. 9% of those boys have attempted suicide. Now, by the way, the percentages that I gave you is not true in any Christian school. Praise God. They're not true in any Christian school. Men and suicide. Let me give you some things to think about here. Men are 4% more likely to commit suicide than females. Men are more effective at committing suicide. The leading thing that they use to commit suicide as a man is some type of firearm. A matter of fact, 57% of those that are men commit suicide using a firearm. 17% of the men that commit suicide do it by suffocation. 17% also of men do it by poisoning, and 8% by other methods. Now, this is something to be thankful for, and that is this. For every success, there is 50 to 100 failures of a person that tries to commit suicide. So there's a high failure rate of those that try to commit suicide. Here's a sad note. Since 1970, the teenage suicide has tripled. Since 1970, it has tripled. There are more adolescents today committing suicide than are dying of cancer. There are more adolescents today committing suicide than those that are dying of heart disease. There are more adolescents today committing suicide than those that die of stroke. There are more adolescents today committing suicide than those that die of birth defects. There are more adolescents today committing suicide than those that die of the flu. Listen to this. There are more adolescents today committing suicide than all of those combined. So there's a lot of young people that commit suicide. There has been several well-known people that have committed suicide. Judas Iscariot committed suicide. Pontius Pilate committed suicide. Cleopatra committed suicide. Nero committed suicide. Sigmund Freud committed suicide. Mark Anthony committed suicide. Adolf Hitler committed suicide. Ernest Hemingway committed suicide. Vince Van Gogh committed suicide. Judy Garland committed suicide. Marilyn Monroe committed suicide. And perhaps even Elvis Presley and other type of musicians in that era. Now, may I say that these suicides have to be looked at and recognized, and if somebody comes to you ever, and they say, I'm thinking about committing suicide, never play with that. Never play with that. Because when somebody is saying that, here's what they're doing. They're crying out for help. They're saying, I'm getting ready to do something that is harmful to myself, and I want somebody to pay attention. All right? In the year 2010, there were 38,364 U.S. suicides. 30,277 of them were males. 8,087 of them were females. Every 13.7 minutes, someone in the United States of America dies by suicide. There was a survey that was taken, and of course, a survey looking out at all the people that had died and how the deaths had occurred. But according to the World Health Organization, approximately 1 million people commit suicide every single year worldwide. 90% of the people that die by suicide have some type of psychiatric disorder that is very treatable. Now, that means this. That means that there's one death every 40 seconds, or 3,000 deaths per day. Most people that have a mental illness do not die by the suicide. They only attempt it, but they do not die by it. Recent U.S. data yearly says this, that the medical cost for suicide on a yearly basis now, and this was established in 2005, is nearly $100 million for every suicide that is carried out. Men are nearly four times more likely to die by suicide than women. Women attempt suicide three times as often as men. Suicide rates the highest among people that are between the ages of 40 and 59. The highest rate of suicide is white individuals. Next is Native Americans. In the country of China, someone takes their own life every 2 minutes. Every 2 minutes. 60% of all suicides occur in Asia. China, India, Japan, according to the given account of 40% of all suicides, that is according to the World Health Organization. And so those that are in those countries give an account for 40% of all suicides that's in the world. That means this, that 3,000 people, we're talking worldwide now, 3,000 people every day choose death. Now, by the way, that ought to prompt you to be a soul winner. That ought to show you how important it is for us to continue to run the buses, us to continue giving out gospel tracts, us to continue, since we're talking about a worldwide statistic, it ought to encourage you to support the missionaries and keep it up. Why? Because there's people out there that need the gospel. I remember the story of Mike Ray many years ago, how Mike Ray was in Baton Rouge, and he had had an awful hot day out, and of course it's hot in Baton Rouge just like it is here in our area, and he was out door knocking, and nobody was giving him the time of day, and he got frustrated, and he decided he was going to go into a restaurant and get something to drink. He went into the restaurant and to get something to drink, and after he had downed that ice-cold water, he decided that he was going to go into the men's room, and he just started leaving tracks everywhere. And little did he know that the restaurant owner was going to shut the door right after he left with the intent of committing suicide. That restaurant owner shut that door, went into the restroom, and he went into this private stall, and he sat down, and he took a shotgun, and he nestled that shotgun up underneath his chin. He looked down to pull the trigger, and before he pulled the trigger, he saw that there was a gospel tract that said this: "If you were to die right now, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven?" He thought, well, you know, before I pull this trigger and make it final, maybe I better read that piece of paper. And so he picked up the piece of paper, and he sat there, and he read that piece of paper, and God began to speak to his heart, and he bowed his head, and he asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior. He took that shotgun, and he put it back in place and went to that church, and still today at that church, he's a faithful, faithful attender in that church and is serving in a leadership capacity still to today. Why? Because somebody gave him a gospel tract. Now, I'm saying that it shows us, because of the world statistics, how vitally it is for you and I, how vitally important it is for you and I to do our job in giving out the gospel. Statement number two, people in the Bible who committed suicide and shouldn't have. People in the Bible who committed suicide and shouldn't have. You remember that Samson committed suicide. You remember that Samson, the Bible talks about in the book of Judges, chapter 16 and verse 28, where the Bible says, and Samuel called onto the people, or called onto the Lord, rather. It says, and Samson called onto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember, I pray thee, and strengthen me. And watch what he says here. I pray thee that only once, only this once, O God, that I may be at once to avenge the Philistines, it says, for my two eyes. He said, give me that strength just one time now where I can avenge the Philistines because they took my two eyes. The Bible says in verse 28, and Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon the house stood. And it says, and on which he bore up, the Bible says, and one on his right and one on his left hand. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself, and with all of his might, the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were within. So that, listen to what it says here, that in his death, it talks about how he slew more in his death than he did in his life. Now, why? Simply because of the fact that he committed suicide, and as he committed suicide, in the midst of committing that suicide, he took a lot of people with him. Did you know I've heard horror stories of people that was in charge of ships? I've heard horror stories of people that was in charge of voyages as they would be out in the middle of the sea, or people that was flying planes. And I've heard horror stories of people that was in control of other people's lives, and because they took their life, other people's lives were lost as well. And so we understand that Samson in the Bible, he committed suicide. You remember the story of Saul over in 1 Samuel chapter 31 in verse 4. You'll see that Saul committed suicide. The Bible says, and said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust, it says, me with it. Now watch what it says here, and this uncircumcised shall be with me through, and he, and the Bible says, and abuse me. He said, so go ahead and thrust me through. He said, I don't want to live. Why? Because they're going to deal with me as an uncircumcised individual, they're going to deal with me just like that, and I'm going to be somebody that is hurting. And watch what it says, but his armor bearer would not, and for he was afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. So what did Saul do? Well, when the armor bearer would not bear up, if you would, to be able to destroy him or to be able to take his life, to be able to kill him, then Saul rose up and he took his own life. And by the way, what a sad thing it is, over in 1 Samuel chapter 31 and verse 5, where the Bible says, and when his armor bearer saw that that Saul was dead, that he fell upon his own sword, listen to it, fell upon his sword and died with him. All right, so here Saul died, and the armor bearer said, wait a minute, King Saul is now dead. He committed suicide. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to commit suicide too. You know, if you're not careful, people will follow you, and there's a great following for those that are in the lights and for those that are raised up high. Here's what takes place. When somebody commits suicide, people look at that. I never will forget many years ago that there was an individual that committed suicide, and there was a chain of suicidal events that took place right after that. Why? Because they were looking at that individual as being somebody of high prestige in their life. So we have to be very, very careful to understand that even though Saul was a man that committed suicide, this was not something that God says was the right thing to do. This is not something God said that he should have done. How many have read about, of course, in the World War, you read about the Japanese pilots, and what they would do is they would fly their planes into the ships, and they would commit suicide, kamikaze. Is that what it was? Kamikaze? Soldiers that would fly their planes into the ship, and so doing, they would commit suicide so that they could destroy somebody else's life. And so we understand that Saul committed suicide. Well, there was Ahithophel. And listen to this. The Bible says here in 2 Samuel chapter 17 and in verse 14, the Bible says, and the Lord, it said, had anointed to defeat of, it says, the good counselor Ahithophel. The Bible says here, and indeed, it says, or the intent, if you would, of the Lord, might to bring evil upon Absalom. All right, so what took place here? Here was Ahithophel, and this man was a counselor. This man was a good counselor. Ahithophel was a man that decided that he was going to give counsel, but when they did not hear his counsel, what took place? When they did not hear his counsel, 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23, here's what it says. And Ahithophel, the Bible says, and when Ahithophel saw, it says, his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose up and gat him, it says, his home in order. So what did he do? He put his house in order. And after he put his house in order, after he had his house in order, notice the last portion of it there. And the Bible says he hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. And so here was Ahithophel, and he died. How did he die? He died because somebody else would not take his counsel. Now notice why these three men died. One man died because somebody took something from him. And so because somebody took something from him, what did he do? He committed suicide. Are you listening to it? Here's another man that died. Why did he die? He died because of the fact he saw that the enemy was coming, and he did not want to face the enemy. He did not want to face hard times. And so instead of facing hard times, he took his life and he died. Why did this other man die? He died simply because somebody would not take his counsel. And so what did he do? He committed suicide. You think about Judas. Judas committed suicide. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 5, the Bible says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. So why did Judas commit suicide? Well, he sold the Lord into that which was an unrightful commitment, an unrightful bargaining, an unrightful, if you would please, a switching out for that which is the silver. He sold out the Lord. And when he did that, he realized what he did. And after he realized what he did, he went out and he committed suicide. You think about Judas. Judas was not loyal to the Lord. Stay with the thought. And because of that, he committed suicide. You think about Ahithophel, and he went out and he was disloyal to David. And because of that, he committed suicide. How many times do we see people, such as a husband or a wife, that was disloyal to each other, and because they're disloyal to each other, they cannot put up with it, and so what did they do? They go out and they commit suicide. You know, the Bible talks about how important it is to be able to, you know, when a person is disloyal to a spouse, it weakens the relationship. When they're disloyal to that which is an authoritative figure that God has placed in their life, it weakens that relationship. And when it weakens that relationship, it can weaken that relationship to the point and to the place where a person becomes so dismayed and so despondent and so depressed that they don't think that life is worth living. And so what do? They go out and they end their life. Here's what we see. People who have committed suicide in their statistics. People in the Bible that has committed suicide and shouldn't have done that. Then you see people that have chosen, they have not chosen, they have chosen, if you will, they could have chosen, let me say this, the people that could have chosen to kill themselves but did not. The people that could have chosen to kill themselves, could have chosen to kill themselves but did not. Now who's that? Well, Job. Job did not commit suicide. The Bible says over in the book of Job, chapter 1 and verse 22, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. All right? So all the things that happened in his life, he lost his sons, he lost his daughters, he lost his sheep, he lost his camels, he lost his oxen, he lost his asses, he lost his servants, he lost even the loyalty of his wife, but yet Job did not commit suicide. He said this, he said, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So when Job could have sinned, he did not sin. When he could have committed suicide, he chose not to commit suicide. He faced up to the problems, and he took on the responsibility that was right before him, though he lost more, by the way, than all these that I just named a moment ago. More than all these. He lost loyalty. No doubt people was not going to listen to his counsel anymore. No doubt financially it looked like that he was totally ruined. No doubt people were looking at him and thinking the curse of God was upon his life. And Job said, it doesn't matter. But in all this, he said, I'm not going to curse God. And he went on to live. Well, you think about the Philippian jailer. He didn't commit suicide. The Philippian jailer. The Bible says over in Acts chapter 16 and verse 27, the Bible says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing that the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Listen to it in verse 28. The Bible says, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And so Paul is the one that said, look, we realize that you have problems. We realize that you are facing problems that a man, if he would lose his prisoners, would give his own life because he was going to wind up losing it anyway. And so what he would do is he would commit suicide because he realized that they were going to take his life anyway. But here's a prisoner, and he's thinking about committing suicide, but he didn't. Why? Because there was a man of God that came along and said, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not the wise thing to do. What about Jesus? Jesus didn't commit suicide. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 22, the Bible says, then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, ye cannot come. And so they begin to think, well, okay, is he going to go ahead and kill himself? Is that what he's going to do? Because he said wherever he's going to go, we can't go. But Jesus did not kill himself. Now, Jesus laid down his life, and Satan tried, if you would, to get the victory over that. And Satan tried to kill him, but was not able to. Satan even tempted him at one time. You'll remember in your Bible to commit suicide, but he didn't do it. And so people who committed suicide, we see the statistics. The people in the Bible who have committed suicide but shouldn't have. The people that could have chosen to kill themselves, but they didn't. And then there's people, you think about this. People can be forgiven. I love this. You'll hang on to these scriptures. People can be forgiven by God for the wrongdoings and sin. No matter how deep the depths of sin goes, you have a God that goes deeper. No matter how much you have done wrong, no matter how much people are pointing the finger at you, no matter it looks like how much your life may be destroyed and it looks like the end is mighty bleak, we understand that God forgives. Listen to these scriptures. They are absolutely fantastic. Listen to what he says. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17, the Bible says, behold, he says, for my peace that I had great bitterness. Now watch what he says here. But thou, it says, has in love to my soul delivered it. Now watch what it says, from the pit of corruption. All right, so he says, now here's something we can understand, that God said, here's what I'm going to do. There's a deliverance there. And you think that you're in a pit of destruction, God is the one that can deliver you from your pit. God can help you out of anything that you're in. Oh, it doesn't stop there. Look at Isaiah chapter 44. Look at verse 22. The Bible says, I blotted out. It says, as a thick cloud, thy transgressions, and as a cloud, thy sins, it says, return unto me. For it says, watch what it says here, for I have redeemed thee. He said, here's what I'm going to do with your transgressions. I'm simply going to blot them out. I'm going to blot them out. I'm not going to have those transgressions anymore that I can see. They're going to be blotted out. And so when God forgives a sin, he blots them out. It's like a cloud that's over the sins, and you can't see them anymore. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, for their sins, that's plural, and iniquities, that's plural, will I remember no more. All right, so here's what God says. God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to blot them out. And he said, also what I'm going to do is I'm not going to remember them anymore. I will never again remember those sins. Now, by the way, that's the goodness of God. Amen. Your flesh can't do that, but the Holy God can. All right? And so here's what God says. God says that people can be forgiven. They can be forgiven. So people can be forgiven by God for the wrongdoings. There is no sin that's deeper than God. There's no wrong that's higher than God. There is no wickedness that's wider than God. God is there, and God can forgive you for all of those things. So God can help when it comes to forgiveness. So don't beat yourself up. You know what I find out about marriages? Many times, if there would be just that forgiveness in place, marriages would last a whole lot longer and be a whole lot happier. You know what I find out about homes? If there'd be just forgiveness instilled inside of the homes, those homes would last a whole lot longer, and you would find out they'd be a whole lot happier if you have forgiveness that's already there. All right? So you said, but my mom has wronged me. Well, forgive her. And by the way, I like what Spurgeon said. I think I said it on Sunday, but Spurgeon said to dig your wells deep while you're young so that when you're old, you can draw from them. All right? So how do I forgive them, Brother Wells, when they did something like this, so terrible, so wicked, so wrongfully levied against me? How do I do that? Well, you should forgive them before they ever do it. And if you've got that forgiveness down inside, then you're able to do that. You're able to forgive them. All right? And watch this, if you will. The Bible talks about not only that, but here's what he does with those sins, plural, and those iniquities, plural. Here's what he says. I'm not just going to forgive you. I'm not just going to blot them out. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to remember them no more. All right. So, okay. And so stand up, if you will. And so here's a sinner coming to a holy God. And the sinner, here's what he does. He confesses his sin. He gets on his knees. He says, dear God, please forgive me of this sin. He names the sin. Okay? By the way, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is that right? Is that what your Bible teaches? All right, so God says, when you confess your sin, here's what he's going to do. He is going to take and forgive those sins. Okay? Now, wait a minute. So I go over to God, and I say, God, I just confessed that sin yesterday, but I'm still feeling bad about it, you know? I mean, it just bothers me that I would do such a stupid thing, and so I'm feeling bad about it. So I feel like here's what I need to do. I need to go to God again, and I need to come to God and confess that again. All right? So I go to God, and I get on my knees, and I say, dear God, I pray that you would forgive me of this sin that I committed yesterday. Now, if I've come to God and I have confessed it, here's what God does. God can't remember it. So God's going to scratch his head and say, what in the world are you talking about? I don't remember that anymore. See, once you come to God, and please understand the scriptural teaching here, but once you come to God and you confess that sin, you don't have to keep going back to God and confessing that sin over and over and over again. No, you go to him and you confess that sin and he forgives it. Now, you might have a harder time forgiving yourself than God has in forgiving you. Don't forget, he's holy and you're not. Okay? Thank you. But you might have a harder time in forgiving other people more than you forgive yourself. All right? Now, that's something we have to work on. Amen. When your parents sin against you, what you ought to do is forgive them, realizing all they are is human flesh. And human flesh is prone to err. Human flesh is prone to make mistakes. Human flesh is prone to sin. So what do? When mom and dad do something that is wrong against you, yea, when a husband and wife do something wrong against each other, what do? You reach down in there and you forgive them and you work on not bringing it up over and over and over and over again. Well, you know, come on. Well, I can't believe you did that. You did that yesterday. I can't believe you did that. You did that a year and a half ago according to the calendar. I can't believe you did that. You did that every single month on the 15th. It's about this time that you do it also. All right? No, you forgive them. And a part of that is working on forgetting what they did against you. All right? Statement number five, think about this. People who commit suicide will not only hurt their self, but others. People who commit suicide will not only hurt their self, but others. Someone said that 10% of your life is what happens to you, while 90% of your life is what happens through you to others. So 10% of your life is what happens to you, but the other 90% is what happens through you to others. By the way, you cannot control how somebody treats you, but you can surely control how you treat others. If somebody is mean to you, that should not provoke you to be mean to them. The Bible does say, turn ye the other cheek. It's not talking about theirs. It's talking about yours. All right? And so when somebody does something against you, then that's when it ought to invoke that forgiveness inside of you. Why? Because it's going to affect a whole lot more people than what you could even begin to imagine. All right? So if somebody commits suicide, can you think about this? How somebody's going to remember that all the days of their life. All the days of their life. All the days of their life. You know, every time that they would visit the grave, they would remember that. Every time they see a picture, they would remember that. Every time somebody brings up their name, they would remember that. All right? And so when somebody commits suicide, it don't just affect them, but it affects other people as well. Statement number six. People who know the Bible understand the following things about suicide. Number one, the Bible teaches against it. The Bible teaches against suicide. You think about it. When somebody is trusting in the Lord, they're not going to do that. But it is somebody who's not trusting in the Lord. All right. When a saved person commits suicide, they're still going to go to heaven. So if you're saved and you commit suicide, still going to go to heaven. Why? He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Now, let me tell you a good Catholic doctrine that I learned coming up. And that was this. That was, we were taught that if you give your life to someone else, for someone else. In other words, you know, a truck is coming and Brother Allen is standing out there in front of the big old truck. And I see Brother Allen. Well, what do? Well, I run over and I tackle and I push him out of the way. And I'm stuck there in the middle of the road and I get hit by the truck. You're welcome. You know, that's where you send an assistant pastor and say, help him. But by pushing him out, if I was to get killed, you know, the Catholic faith that I was taught was that I'd get to go to heaven because I saved somebody's life. Something else that was taught is anybody that commits suicide doesn't go to heaven. But that's not Bible. My Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Everlasting life is in the Son. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, he is saved forever. All right? Now, wait a minute, though. Let's continue. The highest percentage of saved people, they're not going to commit suicide. They're not going to do that. You know, you don't lose your salvation when you commit suicide, but you do this. You do lose reward. You lose reward. You know, there's no problem so big that God himself cannot help. None. Think about this. People do not need to commit suicide. People do not need to commit suicide. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." All right, so what did he say? All of your need. He said, "I'll provide all of your need." Now, by the way, God does not always provide your need when you want it. I came up on a farm many years ago when I lived in Maryland, and first couple years of my life being raised on that farm, you know, we never planted corn and the next day go out and reap the harvest. Never happened that way. We never put wheat in the ground and the next day went out and combed it down. We never did that. All right? And so God says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, "But there is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able." Now watch what it says, above that you're able. It says, "But with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." All right, so here's what God says. God says that doesn't matter. Does not matter how much you're tempted. He said, "I'll always make a way out. I'll always make a way out." And so every time that temptation comes in your life, God said, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a way for you to escape that temptation." All right, so a person sitting in a room and they're thinking about, "Boy, I think I ought to commit suicide." Well, if they'll look around, they'll find a way to escape. If they look around, they'll find a way out. But they've got to look for it. Because if they don't look for it, they won't find it. You know, the way out sometimes might just be you. I remember Joshua was out soul winning one time. It was over in, I think it was Louisiana. Was it Louisiana where he knocked on that door? He knocked on that door. Was it Louisiana, Josh? I was looking at Mom. But Louisiana, you knocked on that door, and he kept knocking and knocking, and nobody was there, but he heard something stirring in the back. And so he kept knocking and knocking and knocking, and finally somebody got irritated enough that they came to the door. You know what they're doing in the back? They were getting ready to commit suicide. They gave him the testimony. They were in the back of the house, and they were trying and getting ready, had the gun, had the whole nine yards, getting ready to commit suicide, and he just kept knocking on that door, knocking on that door, knocking on that door, knocking on that door, and finally they laid the gun down out of irritation and came to the door, and he had the privilege of leading them to Christ. They called the church and told the story to the pastor. And the pastor told me the story and said, "Well, we thank God." The person said, "We thank God for somebody that was just consistent enough not to give up when they heard somebody in the back room." So that's what I'm saying. You know, soul winning can change a person's life forever. So when we go out soul winning and we go out to care about others and we go out and we give out those gospel tracts and we go over. And by the way, you listen to me. And when somebody comes to you and they say, "Boy, I'm thinking about this," or you read a note, then you take that very serious, as I said just a moment ago. Why? Because you never know when they're about to press that button. You never know. So you always take it serious. You always deal with that as it being something that is very, very important to deal with and talk to that individual.